Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter.
And welcome, everybody. This is Andrew Fetter, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. And this is actually a very, very special show, as tomorrow, December 21st, 2012, will our lights be on? Will it be the end of the world or just new beginnings? It's going to be a special time. And by the way, everybody, I wish all those out there who celebrate Christmas, Merry, Merry Christmas. And hopefully it will be. Now, I have a very, very, very special guest today because it is... December 21st, 2012. I think it only pertinent to have someone who discuss what our future is today and in the future, in the near future, based upon the Cumbles. Now, I've had her at various times. Specifically, I had most recently during the elections, where she accurately predicted, of course, Obama winning. Especially, it was quite interesting with her profile on both. Peoples, it was extraordinarily done quite well, as she always does. You often heard her, Carrie Fezza. You can also check her out on ZodiacBuzz.com. She'll also give your contact information. I highly, highly, highly recommend her to, if you would like a reading, and as well as doing an astral analysis of your natal chart or compatibility or anything in the cosmos. Today, I'm fortunate to have her by special request for this particular day, and I feel fortunate to have her on my show. So, Carrie, I want to thank you for coming on my show today, and how are you doing first? Hey, Carrie, you still there? Hello?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I thought I left you there. I thought we got caught in the black hole. And I'm not talking about at Raiders Stadium in Oakland. I want to thank you for coming on my show in this particular time. I know I have you on multiple times throughout the years, but I felt it was really honored to have you for this particular show for the 21st of December. First of all, for those who don't know who you are, please elaborate who and your background a little bit. And again, I want to thank you for coming on.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. I hope you can hear me. I am a Las Vegas-based, but a tarot card reader and astrologer. I do most of my readings over the phone because a lot of my clients are out of state and out of the country. I also do locally a lot of private parties, events, conventions, whatever. The best way to reach me, to book me, is on my website, which is ZodiacBuzz.com, or email me at CarrieFezza1@gmail.com. And Carrie is K-E-R-R-Y, Fezza with an F, F-E-Z-Z-A, @gmail.com. My training is mostly through the Astrological Society of Princeton, and I've been doing this for about 16 years now. That's the most frequently asked question. How long have you been doing this? Since about 1996.
Wow, that's a long time. So, now, I know you have done, and I have not even seen it, you've done your analysis of what you proposed for what's happening, I guess, today throughout further on from the 21st on. First of all, I'll let you shoot away and just explain to me and the audience, of course, what you see in future events or what your analysis proposes.
Well, as you know, and usually have me on your show, I do a 3-month analysis every solstice or equinox. It's just like I look at the planets at the time of the solstice and create a chart based on that day. So it's like a birth chart for the solstice. And I just do a 3-month forecast because, again, I'll do a new chart again when the equinoxes roll around. So every time you deal with the solstices or the equinox, you're dealing with the cardinal signs. The cardinal signs are strong, powerful signs that take initiative. And when we look at the winter solstice, we're looking at the sun in Capricorn. Capricorn, to me, is the sign that rules big business, corporations. What else would you say about that? It's old money, or it's traditional, it's tried and true. It's ruled by the planet Saturn, Capricorn is. So it tends to do things more the old-fashioned way, in a manner we've grown accustomed to. Now, in 2008, November to be exact, the planet Pluto, which rules nuclear energy and annihilation, destruction, death, and rising out of the ashes, rebuilding and transformation, moved into Capricorn. That's when you saw the downturn of the economy, the collapse of corporate America, and all the things we've been going through since then. Because Pluto will remain in Capricorn for over 10 more years, we're not going to see things bounce back right away. The most we can do with this energy is use power, another key word for Pluto is power, that it gives us to rebuild. So Pluto came along in 2008, moved into Capricorn, and humbled us. On the winter solstice, the sun still sits pretty close to Pluto. We are still in a period of deep transformation, recovery, and rebuilding. We also have a lot of strength, and that's magnified in this chart by the planet Mars. Mars is our motivator. Mars is the action planet, and Mars also is in Capricorn at this time. So for the next 3 months, we have a lot of power, a lot of desire, and a lot of energy to rebuild ourselves, especially as a nation. And I think a lot of us might be motivated by the recent election. Whether you agree with the outcome, it is a new start, so to speak, or, you know, a fresh start, a new beginning. And that said, it's in our house of a self. So as a universe, as a world, we are in a period where we know it's time to rebuild, and we will do that.
So you're saying, like, basically pretty much seems the status quo. We're basically going through the same status quo. So obviously it's not the end of the world. It's still the same thing. Obviously not the end of the world. But unless the asteroid suddenly hits us, that it's basically transformation into our continued transformation from us as corporately and economically, basically.
Yeah, anything that has to do with our traditions, to our roots, what we've gained from our forefathers. It's in addition to the status quo, we have a lot of extra energy in this time. We have extra motivation. I think it comes as a new beginning. The popular question now is, oh, what do you think of the Mayan calendar, the world is going to end? The world is already sort of ending as we know it, and we're moving in a totally new direction, especially with technology. It's taken us places I don't think we could have ever imagined. You know, we're really living in the Jetson age. So that's inspirational in itself, but when it comes to old-school thought and thinking, technology still challenges a lot of people where they can't embrace it because it overwhelms them. So maybe we need to put more educational things in place to help people that feel like falling behind with some of the modern devices. And you might see that, you know, not just in the next 3 months, but in general. Jupiter, planet of luck, abundance, is in Gemini this year, which rules communication. So this would be an ideal year to put in place reforms that would have to do with technology and communication. I think you'll see a large expansion in the communication market. You know, you've got the iPhone 5 competing with the Galaxy and all these things. It's just going to be a huge year for technology and communication. So it'd be wise for us to put, like I said, provisions in place where we can maybe educate those that feel like they're left behind or they can't keep up with it.
So basically,
it's always going to be a struggle. But some people aren't willing to embrace change and things that are new because they're fearful of the unknown.
Right. So you were just saying we're having an extreme acceleration of technology especially through communications, which can obviously through the internet is going to be more dependent on and wireless technology. And then you're saying basically as far as the status quo for it's changing the status quo for our business and to, it was interesting you said about the United States getting back to our roots for, you know, it is coming to a mandate where people are getting tired of, this sort of gets political in a little sense because people are questioning why we're in the UN, why we're helping all these other countries and we're not even taking care of ourselves. I mean, here's they're talking about, you know, maybe even raising Medicare or Social Security, or which is basically screwing us, which to me is a game for of pushing people to go to civil disobedience to a large degree, if that ever to come about. And here we're not even we were wanting to pay all this money to other people with borrowed money. And then yet we're not even we're talking telling all the everybody's from the baby boomers and up to hello we're gonna cut down what you've already paid out in the first place instead of just not paying out all these other countries around the world we pay about $9 billion a year every year to the UN and what's that for it was you know and that's a big question which I've already talked in my other shows. But I think you're right. I think we're going to start – people are wanting to get back to the roots of taking care of ourselves first.
Well, we have to. And that's it's interesting you bring up that point because it shows up in the chart. We're going to have a lot of support from our friends. We might look at models from other countries and use that as a place to rebuild ourselves. We're going to have a lot of support and help from those that we consider allies or friends. That's how it shows in this chart. But not so sure of the financial help. The way I see it is others are only willing to help us so much as we're willing to help ourselves.
Let me ask you this, because there's another thing that's been out that's actually changing dynamics starting. And one is, I know, and this has to do with our energy. We're actually using less foreign energy. And then we're also been pushing out, because now they've discovered we're able to produce more natural gas and oil within our own country through shale and whatnot, which there's questions of how doing it, the process, but that's another question. I don't think it's that big a deal, personally, but that actually we have more reserves of energy just through natural gas and shale than the entire Saudi Arabia. I mean, we have literally more reserve of that kind of energy, making us like one of the big leading oil sources, the same sources of energy they found now outside in Israel along its rift with natural gas. And then you have the same situation happening. I think it was France has the same. And, of course, China. So the political dynamic has changed. So I think that's – you had said one time we're becoming more self-reliant. So this is a way of helping us become more self-reliant where we don't need outside help or outside sources. But I think we still need to change our status quo on a way our business relationship with our own government. That's, I think, the biggest problem. We still have government influenced by corporate and big money and big banks.
Well, there's going to be politics and everything. But you could see us look much closer to home for the oil and gas resources that you're talking about. It's something, though, that if we do tap into our own resources in a way, and I don't know what way this would be, it would hurt us anyway. I'd have to guess that it might hurt us with our allies. Maybe, you know, there's politics in everything, so maybe we purchase gas and that from overseas just to be friendly with them so they don't turn on us. That's kind of how it's reading in the chart. There's a lot of behind-the-scenes maneuvering when it comes to that natural energy resources and stuff. Even though we have on our home turf, there's still a matter of placating those where we buy the oil and stuff from because we need other things from them. So there's a whole bunch of dynamics that go into that, and I think a lot of it is stuff we're not even aware of.
So let me ask you this for the next 3 months that's after this first coming thing, you know, everybody's worrying about the changing of energy of after from today forward. Do you think it's basically economics, or do you see something in health? Do you see, or is it just basically, as you say, the sciences and communications and things like that? Do you see anything changes in our health or anything like that?
Yeah, health reform is going to be a hot topic over the next month, you know, and I think this whole health care plan is going to have to be revamped. It's not made to debut till 2014, as I understand it, so I think it's going to go through a lot of revamping for the first half of 2013. And I work, jobs, you know, revamping the job market, trying to get the workforce back up, get the unemployment numbers down, that again, and this is all basic stuff, you know, you don't need a psychic to do this, but these are going to be hot topics, because what happens in this chart, Uranus moved into Aries a couple years ago, and the moon in this chart, which is random in any chart, the moon can falls randomly, it falls next to Uranus in this chart in the fourth house of our homeland, our country. And Uranus would, next to the moon would mean that we're still very much in shaky ground. So we're going to have to redo the health care. We're going to have to take a stronger look at the job market. And we can't work against ourselves in trying to rebuild, you like to call the status quo.
So what do you think is going to happen if that were the case? Because the biggest problem in the U.S. is, even though I think most of the United States is mainly independents, neither left or right, but sort of in the middle. And do you think, from what you're seeing, because there seems to be movement, I mean, congressionally even, bipartisan, for example, with dealing with our fiscal policy. But some reason I feel that they're going to do a fix our fiscal policy but end up screwing us as Americans. What's your feeling on that with based upon... Because that's what's going on with the next Lily right now, actually. So what do you... you based upon the status quo and what you're talking about and the changes, how would you feel that would relate to based upon what you think?
You kind of lost me with that question. I don't really understand the question. I'm sorry.
I was like, Obama and the Congress are in like the left and right. Basically, the Democrats and Republicans are trying to create a bipartisan fiscal policy so that we don't jump off the cliff which, as we're speaking. We have till the end of this year, supposedly, or I think this year, so we could possibly go over the cliff. The same thing goes in effect with our taxes. So they're trying to do a massive one and again bipartisan budget. How does that relate to what you see within our the chart?
I'm not really seeing that. I think that's more of a personal opinion on your part. I don't bring that up because I don't really see a lot of finances here. Mostly, I don't really see the bipartisan thing so much. I see it's sort of relevant at this point. You know, we made it through the election. You got to suck it up. It's more of us as a nation as one rebuilding. You know, there's always going to be conflicts between the left and the right, but the main message that's going to be put out is about healing our nation, healing ourselves, healing literally in healthcare, healing our economy. That's going to be the big message. That's what's coming out. And, I really, whatever your personal thoughts or politics are on that, I don't really understand what you're trying to say. I'm sorry. Money's not a big part of this. It's more about how we rebuild. Like, money has to come from somewhere. So where are we going to get those finances from? It's going to come from health care reform. It's going to come from creating more jobs. And these are, you know, whether or not it can be done, these are going to be the areas of focus. Don't see a lot of foreign affairs in this chart. Anything to do with what's going on overseas, that's going to be done in a clandestine fashion. It's going to be done behind the scenes. There's a lot of power negotiations, but it's going to be something we're not aware of. It's going on behind the scenes. The message we're going to get as the American public is we need to heal ourselves. It's kind of putting out false hope, but at the same time, it's meant to inspire us. So I don't really see the whole politics part being divided and all that. I'm not getting that. I'm sorry.
No, that's why I was questioning whether, because we're supposed to be trying to be, if we're all trying to rebuild and re-heal, if it's going to be on a bipartisan basis as a nation as a whole, it's supposed to divide it, you know, my way or the highway, which has been on both sides for the last 8, 10, 12 years.
I don't see that. I don't see that being a big issue in the next 3 months.
All right. So then maybe our nation is sort of healing somehow, making compromise. Who knows?
But we have to come together at some point if we want to get better. It really doesn't matter. You know, there's always going to be people that want to work for somebody else that wants a job. And they want the job to supply their benefits, their health care, and they want the employer to take care of them. There's always going to be those people that want to work and be of service. Then there's the other half of people that want to create their own jobs, that want to go out there and take the initiative and make their own money and not be dependent on anybody else for their welfare. Right. If you want to divide it down into political parties, you can, but it's just two different schools of thought. You know, there's some people that sit down and cry, the economy's bad, they can't get work, or they can't make the money they need to make. And then there's other people going out there and reinventing themselves and trying to earn money doing something different, taking a new path, branching down a new road, thinking outside the box in order to earn income. Mm-hmm. You know, it's sort of people that are open to change and trying new ways and new ideas because whatever we have been doing isn't working anymore. And then there's those that are afraid of change, like I just said, and, you know, fear of the unknown. So they don't want to move outside of their comfort zone. And they choose to look to somebody else to solve their problems, which in this case would be the government. It's totally different schools of thought.
Right. So what about if you're – so everything basically we're not really getting too much – we're focusing more toward our domestic affairs as opposed to our foreign affairs, which is what you're saying. And what about and we're basically nation. We're basically, and you said something about the healthcare that we're gonna probably move toward to re. Where was that again about the healthcare? You said you're
revamping it, looking at it again, going over, because a lot of people aren't happy with it. The new healthcare plan is putting a lot of small businesses out of business because they can't provide what Obamacare is calling for their employees. So instead of, you know, encouraging small business, we're killing it. And, you know, if that, you know, if that voice is heard loud enough, if that's brought to the attention of the government, they're going to have to rework that or rethink that. Because those people that are out there trying to help themselves aren't able to because of this program. They're not able to provide for their employees what's going to be required of them.
Let me ask you,
healthcare thing again.
Okay, now I'm going to ask you from a whole different perspective without taking considerations more on, like, I guess, more of a spiritual way of looking at things because it's more of real. What would you look at without taking consideration from the practical, because we're talking practicalities. What would you look, if you were talking from a spiritual aspect, based upon where we are in the next 3 months, overall, is, and now we're talking about not humanity at large, but I guess because your chart was based upon in the U.S., how do you see us as a nation in this spiritual dynamic, the change from this time forward?
I don't know that when it comes to world events and politics and stuff, which is sort of how I approach this, that they're, you know, people are willing to take a spiritual approach. Those who are spiritually evolved, like I said, will see things what they are and look to make a difference in their own way without relying on other people. There's those that I don't think can embrace anything spiritual out of this except to pray for something better. And those people, again, will be dependent on the government. The way this chart reads is it's far more based in practicality, hard work, effort, traditional values, traditional goals, rebuilding from the bottom up, slow growth.
So it's basically,
you know, it's not going to be out on a limb talking about the secret and all this stuff like that. It's going to have to come from hard work and practicality. But like I said at the beginning, I think we're going to be inspired by at least one other country that we consider an ally, or, you know, someone that'll literally help us out in some fashion, or will be inspired by the model that they have made for themselves in order to improve themselves. And I can't think of, no countries off the top of my head come to mind. You're much more worldly than I am.
I cannot think of any country that you're talking about that's self-sufficient on its own right now, because of every country I can think of, I mean, even China is having problems now. There's no country I can think of that could, and we certainly do not want to model off the EU or Europeans.
That'd be,
so, I mean, I have no, I can't think of, and Australia is now running into problems too themselves. But they're
well,
just,
everybody's got problems, so it could be too that we're all just supporting each other. Right now, the planets Pluto and Saturn are what astrologers call are in mutual reception. Mm-hmm. Pluto is in the sign of Capricorn, which is ruled by Saturn, mm-hmm. and Saturn is in the sign of Scorpio, which is ruled by Pluto, and they're both exactly aspecting each other in a positive way. So maybe it's like we're just leaning on each other, giving each other moral support, and maybe it won't be so much a question of finances, but trade, we can do this for that, straight trade, you know?
Right.
That's a big topic coming up these days, because people don't know, even on a very small scale, there's a lot of people don't have money to purchase the services, so they trade for services.
Yeah.
And we might see that on a larger scale in between countries and continents.
Huh. That's interesting, because I know a lot of, that's interesting you said that, because I know a lot of people, I know especially in LA right now, a lot of people have been pushing, moving more to bartering, actually. It's funny you said that. I know it's a lot of, you know, hey, you can do this, you do that, and they start, I mean, I know from my own things around me, but people I know around me have been bartering more. So you're just saying, like, a more interrelationship of helping one another in that sense, but let me ask you this, because everything's the catastrophe that, you know, the revelation or whatever in the Christian Bible, the disaster from here on forward. My question to you do not absolutely see any of that.
I don't see a big crisis right now, unless I think we're already in it. I don't think it's the future. I think it's now. We're in it. These are not happy times. We're at war. How many wars do we got going now? At least two, right? You know, and long-term wars. Is this the longest war a country's ever been involved in? We're at war. Our economy's crappy. I don't know if all these events culminated at one time before. We are in the crisis period. You know, we have to acknowledge that and work our way back out. And like you said, it's not just us. There's rippling effects all throughout the world. So it's a time, actually, for the world to come together, mm-hmm. you know?
But based upon what you're saying in general aspects, it seems like a gradual, because there's a theory that some people think that in literal form, like the world actually is, our planet is actually increasing frequency, which is affecting us directly in a physical, practical side. I don't know how about mental, spiritual, but that's what I was curious about, what happens. And some people have a theory that slowly things will be changing more, and it went from very negative to now we're moving to a transition into more positive. So it's that slow process. It's not going to be happening all fast, but slow. It's just a changing of a swing. Slow change of the guard, slow change of from old to new ways. And it's interesting you said that we're heading to a direction like the Jetsons, from even to the communication. So if that were the truth, if we're heading more into a direction of communications, then that would make sense that perhaps that would even directly affect us even more in a better sense. Because I think, you know, the internet has actually unified the world as opposed to separated the world. I mean, people talk to other people, like from Skype to especially Facebook. I mean, that's like put people from different continents you would never think of ever have talked before or communicated or whatever.
Well, yeah, you can have friendships with people all over the world. See, back in, you know, up until like this last generation, like say 20 years ago, people wrote letters, and it made sense because, you know, you couldn't get in touch with someone who lived in another state or out of the country really either way except by phone, and it was kind of expensive depending on your long distance plan. So people wrote letters. But now, with the way communication is, you can have friends in Japan, Australia, and Europe, and you can be in touch with them as close as you could be in touch with someone across the street. So letter writing is not necessary anymore. It would take too long because now you can have 20 times as many friends and contacts and be in there all over the world with the way this, with the phones are and the computers and Skype and all that. You can just text them like you could text someone down the road.
Right.
So that's how things are changing and evolving. And I think that's very positive. Again, people need to embrace this technology, which is really hard for some people, especially older people, the older generations. But it's important to embrace this technology because we can really use it to our advantage.
Yeah, I can see your point with that. So let me ask, so what is it in the dynamics? Let me, the reason I was asking about spiritual stuff, because people... I put it, you know, because we're at the 21st or whatever it is, how people, do you think people are going to move away from traditional religion or get hold back or neither or same as it is?
I think we've already pulled away from traditional religion. I think when the baby boomers are all gone, that's going to be the end of traditional religion because they were the ones that were raised in more traditional religious environments, especially the Christian environment. You know, you went by the Bible. Yeah, you're more familiar with the Jewish faith than I am, but it was sort of like whatever religion you were brought up with, whatever doctrine your family prescribed to, that those were your beliefs and your boundaries. But we've seen, especially over the last 20 years, or maybe it's just because I've become more aware, probably since the 60s and full generational and cultural transformation where people are much more aware of what's out there beyond the Bible, beyond traditional books. There's still good beliefs, there's still good philosophies, but beyond that there's a lot more. And the new generations are much more open-minded and, you know, embracing this and coming in already knowing about the elevation of the soul. So that was kind of done throughout the 90s when Pluto went through Sagittarius. Sagittarius ruling traditional religion, Pluto came along and annihilated it and, you know, rebuilt it in a totally different way. So I think most people do appreciate, whether or not they believe in it, I think most people appreciate there are some higher truths out there that go beyond their traditional beliefs. And then there's others like us who, you know, take a little bit from everything and don't look at any one particular religion. We just take a little bit from it all and do what has meaning and appreciate what has meaning for us.
Right, right. So do you see, is there based upon our, I guess, astrologically, do you think we're at that time where it's even becoming more definite or just the same slow transformation?
Of what, religion or spirituality, or what are you asking about?
Yeah, about spirituality.
I think we're already there. I just answered that. Sort of we're embracing that already.
Okay, I was wondering if it's like being accelerated, because the question always gets, is after 21, is it going to start accelerating really fast? And you're just saying it's basically, I see what you're saying. It's just basically slowly by slowly until. My generation dies off.
Not your generation, parents' generation.
Yeah.
You know, they still at the bottom end of the baby boomers. I'm talking people like my parents, your parents that were brought up with traditional religion.
And
that's still their comfort zone, even though I appreciate that they're, you know, partly because of what their children and grandchildren are bringing to them, is that there are higher truths out there, but they're still comfortable going to their church on Sunday and subscribing to, or temple or whatever, subscribing to their traditional philosophies. You know, but I think all that changed remarkably 10, 15 years ago. I think that, you know, it's becoming more prevalent now, but
okay.
I would say that changed
okay.
a while back. No, I don't know.
Yeah, I got another question for you, and this is sort of like, I don't know if it says in the cosmos, we have a tendency in our society of having a savior to come save us. Like, Obama's going to save us, or this person's going to save us, or Clinton's going to save us, or I don't know, whatever figure you want to believe is going to save us. They have a savior mentality, come save the day. I mean, even people make, oh, the extra trust was going to save us. Somebody's going to save us. But and what I'm seeing from your chart, from what you're describing, we're actually going to be moving away from that as well, that savior mentality. Is that true?
Well, it's kind of what I brought up earlier. It's two schools of thought. I mean, I believe in a higher power for sure, but I believe that my higher power is help me to help myself. There's those that are inclined to help themselves and believe that they will have assistance from a higher source to be able to help themselves. Then there's going to be those that put their future in somebody else's hands by being dependent. Like, oh, I need to, oh, if Obama gets in, my life is ruined. Like putting all their future in somebody else's hands. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, it's basically you're saying is, oh, that's exactly what I'm saying is if they're going to put their people out, are going to put out to expect somebody, place expectations of somebody to sort of help save them or assist them totally without them putting any effort themselves or taking responsibility. So my
where I think the bipartisanism comes in, those two schools of thought.
Right.
You know, there's two different mentalities there. I'm divided politically, but just in general, there's people that want to be dependent on someone else, and there's those that want to depend on themselves. And I think you'll always have that dynamic, it's sort of like the entrepreneurial people, and you know, the worker people that they don't want to be responsible for themselves to the extent that they have to manage the money that they make, but they want someone else to, you know, do all the discussions, the negotiations, work out, you know, all the details for them. And then there's the people that take the initiative and do that for themselves. And people that are used to having a steady job, income, a 401k, that have been ousted from that because of the economy, a lot of them, and I have a good friend as an example, who's having a really hard time reinventing herself. You know, people that are afraid of change, or they don't want to let go of what they had. You know, a lot of us made more money in the 90s than we're making now. But you can't live in the 90s. It's over. We're like almost two decades ahead of that.
Right.
You know, the past is the past. You embrace it for what it is. But you have to go with what's given to you now and make the most of it.
Exactly.
And this is getting way off topic, but I wanted to comment what we were talking before about trade. You know, it's sort of a concept now. I went to this party Saturday, and they have an organization set up where you can trade something. It's called a trade bank. You probably have that in California. It was the first time I'd heard of it, but it's an actual organization you pay a small amount into where someone would say, when you buy into the trade bank, you might do a favor for someone. You might watch someone's house if they're on vacation and walk their dogs, and then you earn credits in the trade bank. So when you need something, like someone to come over and mow your lawn or, you know, fix your car, you go to the trade bank that's operated by the person who runs the organization, and they'll find someone to do something for you within the organization. Sort of like paying it forward. It's like literal karma. You put something out there, and it's repaid to you, but not necessarily by the person you did the favor for. You did something for somebody, so now somebody else will do something for you, and then somebody else will do something for them.
I knew in the past they had this bargaining club, something similar to what you did. It's talking about not credits, but it was like a network where if you want, you look up, find people in a club to network. But I've never heard of that credit thing. That sounds actually pretty good. There used to be a lot of bargaining, and then the IRS came in and they were trying to tax people for bargaining. But I don't know whatever happened since then.
Well, that's, it takes the government out of the equation because money is not exchanging hands. It's just people doing for other people. And, of course, the person who's monitoring the organization monitors if there's someone doing too much taking or even too much giving. And if you go back to civilizations like ancient Egypt, they didn't have currency. When they went to market, they just traded. If they needed food, they brought clothes and traded for food. The people that needed clothes brought food or, you know, baskets or furniture. Everybody just traded for what they needed. And if cash becomes obsolete, you might see us going more back to the trade system. And maybe that's why the euro is bottoming out, so we're learning how to live without currency, especially if we get any deeper in debt. You know, these things might not come to fruition in our lifetime, but I think these concepts are being put forward.
That's like
and that would maybe answer your question about the spiritual aspect of things.
Well, that's that would be heading to an aspect of some people propose to a resource economy as opposed to a monetary system where everything's based upon resource. And then if we got rid of the monetary system, you know, then what would happen then? How, you know, I think people have fear of that. I got a question for you. Speaking of which, because I know you're talking about Pluto and you're talking about energy. Do you see a movement more in a direction of changing aspects of within the next 3 months to a year or whatever, or whatever your ideas of are changing toward more alternative kinds of energy in a more drastic way, or what?
Well, I don't know about alternative energy per se. I think it's just in general alternative to everything. As we become more aware spiritually, financially, just aware in general, we have, you know, the more people are open to these concepts and ideas of alternatives, it comes back to the basic argument or what I've been saying throughout the program. It's how willing we are to be different, to embrace something different versus those that don't want the change. So as far as alternative energy goes, you know, you have to have people that are willing to accept it. But then you also have to factor in government and big business. There's politics and everything. So when you have a really idealistic concept that makes sense, it has to play out on the government level because they have to, you know, be able to control it. They have to be able to manipulate it. And they have to be able to find some sort of, what's the word I'm looking for, or a benefit from it. And
so
usually it's something financial, like they tax it.
Right.
So anything that you have, you're going to have to factor in politics to it.
So based upon that, how would that apply to your our based upon what you were explaining earlier about the cosmos was Capricorn and you were talking about the cosmic things that you were talking about. How would that apply if you're using, you know, now what you're saying, how would that apply on an astrological way?
Well, would you understand it if I told you? I mean, it's kind of hard. What you have here is Sun conjunct Pluto in Capricorn, which is tradition.
Right.
Okay? Then, in a hard aspect to it, in conflict to it, you have Uranus next to the moon. Uranus is the unconventional, the new, the change. So that's the conflict that it literally presents in the stars. Sun, Pluto,
right, so that's
square, Uranus, and factor in the moon in this chart, which makes it really personal. Because as the USA, the moon is our ruling planet.
So that's exactly what we're talking. I'm explaining, saying to now that we're talking about, even about new energy or new sources and new. That's exactly what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, and interestingly, okay, Uranus and the Moon are in the sign of Aries, which is a very forward-thinking sign. Aries is ruled by Mars, which again is the action planet. Aries is the pioneer. So you take the planet Uranus, which is change, the unconventional, it likes to change things up, mix things up, and it invents things. It's Uranus is totally thinking outside the box. So when you put it in a pioneering sign like Aries, it's in a really powerful position now to make big changes. But the irony of this chart is its ruling planet Mars winds up back in Capricorn. So you have the old guard, and we've talked about this on your show a lot, the old guard versus the new guard, which is sort of the underlying theme of this whole show, which is the people that want new and change and different versus those that don't like change and want to do it tried and true.
Right.
That's where your bipartisan comes. That's where your division comes. But because Mars is in Capricorn now, I think in answer to your original question, I think you might see some compromise between both parties. You're going to, each party's going to have to give a little, and each party's going to have to take a little. Everybody's going to have to change to make things better, but it's good if we look at, we study history and we learn from the past and from other countries how to incorporate that change or make it work for us and not against us.
That's interesting. Wow. And now the aspect of that, us and the general aspect. So basically, in a nutshell, you'll have like just two major things from what we're talking about. Is basically real simplified compared to prior, which is unique. Is just those two areas that you're talking about. One was the compromising or whatever of our situation now. The massive changes that are happening and pushed, but then going back again to what you're saying with the Capricorn aspect or whatever. And then the other aspect seems just to be the drastic movement toward our field of technology and communications is going to drastically increase, which would change our whole possibly our perspectives on stuff too.
Technology is the forerunner in massive new age change, because what's going on right now with technology is totally outside the box, which is totally rapid change, which is totally elevating us to another level. So that ties in really nice with the factions of the people that want to move forward in a different direction, where the people that are traditional and tried and true that still want, you know, those telephones with cords, that want to hold on to landlines, that, you know, they don't want to change, those are the people that are running into problems. You have to embrace technology. As difficult as it may be for some, it's not going to go away. So that, I think we're moving in a new direction. It's just some of the traditionalists are holding us, they're kind of holding us back, you know. Then that gets into your argument with energy and everything. New energy is great, but it's the people that still want the old way, what they're comfortable with, what they know, they don't want to let go of that. Even if it's not in their best interest, it's what they know. Do you ever notice that about people that don't like change? It doesn't matter if they're in a worse position, even if they could better themselves, they don't want to because it's not comfortable. That they're comfortable in their own misery because it's what they know.
Yeah, that's a lot. I understand that's true. Especially, I know, so you're saying, and you talked about the, you know, let's say about cars and things like that. People like that old car that you can, you know, put your gas in it and just, you know, especially America. And then, oh, wait, electric car, a hybrid? You know, that's like weird. That's like, you know, not, it's not the same, you know what I mean? It's not like revving up the car, you know, the engine. Is, you know, you would have to, like, I remember when they made a movie to make the car sound like having revs. I forget what movie. And they're trying to make the sound sound like on some movie to replicate the sound of a normal gas car. And it would be like an electric car that sounds like, you know, a Mach 1 or a Cobra or something. It's an electric car, and that's like sort of the same thing. And then there's the other people who simply, you know, what you're saying, I remember going looking even my parents and grandparents, and I think it's each generation in the last 100 years has been sort of cultural crash when it comes into technology. I mean, you know, from especially computers and then cell phones and then we're heading to a new area of even computers where now they're moving to a direction which just starting where you're going to instead of typing in your computer, you're going to speak into your computer, and that types for you. And now they're moving into direction where now our computers are intertwined in the internet with our TV sets. So we're getting these multi-thousand computer smart televisions now. So, and now we're working with our cell phones that are having almost like TV sets now. People are watching movies and playing games and, you know, so we're being so multi-aspect in technology. So it's interesting that you said that. I think we're, which who knows, we don't know what's going to happen after that, how that affects, Because it seems like technology affects our culture. Because look at cars have created a different culture in the United States. You know, using cell phones created a whole new texting. I mean, who thought 15 years ago, 20 years ago, that you have to have a law to prevent somebody talking on a cell phone? I remember the old car phone, it was called a car phone, because people used car phones to talk on. Now you can't talk on your car phone, I know in California, on your cell phone, you know? So I think it's interesting what you're saying. It's changing from old to new and all that. And how
I think back, whenever I'm able to interject, let me know.
No, I'm just curious, just looking back what you're saying, it's like, wow, pretty heavy. And if you were to project things heading into, I know it may sound sort of like you're reiterating, because we're coming to the head here. If you were to a synopsis on everything and what you feel based upon what you see in your analysis, in a nutshell, I know it might sound like you're reiterating things, but in a nutshell, in a synopsis, what would you finally say to the people who are listening, not just in the United States, but internationally, as far as what you see in the next 3 months?
Well, kind of what we've been talking about. There's the old guard versus the new guard. What we've reiterated a million times is like the traditional way of doing things, again, with currency and paper money and credit cards, versus all kinds of new age concepts from energy to cell phones. Those two factions are still in opposition. But I think we will come together with the people that are our allies and look for other ways to do things, maybe through trade or just moral support. Like, we can't help you financially, but we can, find a way to support each other. I don't see a lot of stuff going on with foreign affairs. Anything going on with that is going to be going on behind the scenes. Look to the next eclipse cycles. I believe they're in May, June, or for hidden things to come to light. So anything that's going on behind the scenes now will probably be exposed or magnified later on in 2013, May, June time.
So everybody circled May and June, in other words.
Yeah, whenever I don't have my calendar in front of me, so I can't give you the exact dates. We just had two eclipses last month, which shook things up a lot. And you're going to see, so a lot of foreign affairs, all that kind of stuff, negotiations behind the scenes, we're not going to know about that right away. Right now we're focused on healing ourselves. This next 3 months is very much about individuals, nations under themselves, being strong, rebuilding, at the same time trying to integrate the change that is around us. The strong messages are going to be of hope, healing, inspiration, and rebuilding, like the workforce. Looking at jobs, job situations, education, how it relates to jobs, looking at health care reform, again, more of that. It's going to be much more personal issues, much more private issues, and banding together with those that we care about, that we get along with, and helping each other out. And that can you can apply that on any level, individually, by country basis, continent by continent basis.
Wow. Well, first of all, I want to, that's pretty, that's, so, in a nutshell, I mean, first of all, everyone, we're not ending of the world. There's no, like in Revelations, massive wars and whatnot. It's basically, again, we're simply in transition, transformations and whatnot. And
transition, I love that word. Well said. Love it.
Yeah. And, But since we're now at the close of the show, I just really want to have you. First, I want to thank you for once again on short notice to come on my show. I deeply appreciate that, and I want you to again tell everybody out in the audience how they may contact you for either doing readings or possibly doing even doing a cosmic chart or astral natal or whatever. Anything astrologically as well. Tell them how they can contact you and whatnot.
Okay, well, it's carriefezza1@gmail.com. The best way to look me up and know what I do is at zodiacbuzz.com. Z-O-D-I-A-C-B CUZZ.com. Today is a new moon in Sagittarius. It's a great day to, the 13th is a new moon. We're making, it's a great day, great time between now and the full moon to make a manifestation list, what we used to call a wish list, whatever you want to call it. Make your holiday list up before the full moon. It's a great time for new beginnings. We're out of the Mercury retrograde shadow now. We can move forward with a clear mind, a clear conscience. Make a great wish list up for the new year. Think to the new, embrace the new, learn to love the new. Because if we all want to move forward into the future, we have to be open-minded. And I have a great new moon article on my website. Go to newmoonbuzz.com. That's courtesy of Larry Williamson, who's one of my astrology mentors. Very, very smart and insightful person. There's lots of free information on there to play around. And if you want consultations, it's very easy to get my pricing on there and how to get a hold of me. And I welcome all your comments or suggestions. If you want to get on my email list, just go to my website and email me from there. Thank you, Andy, for having me on the show.
And thank you for coming on. And everybody, I will also repost on my site. It will be also on my archive, so for future references. Please do definitely check her out. I highly, highly, highly recommend her. I've been utilizing her, God, since, 2006 now? For 6 years. She's highly accurate, so I highly recommend her. And I want to thank you all for listening in. God bless you all. And for those, again, have a Merry Christmas, and God bless you all, and have a glorious, glorious weekend. Thank you.